We're starting this new series called Ghost Stories, I don't want to alarm you by that title and make it scary or spooky, but it's just playing off of the time of year that it is, where it's scary and spooky, and we tell ghost stories and stuff like that, because really, as human beings, we've been telling ghost stories for thousands of years. There's been ghost stories going on all throughout since humanity's been around, but recently there's been a resurgence of ghost stories in more of a pop culture kind of way, in a popular kind of way. Get this, 48% of Americans believe in ghosts, and I highlight that to you because a couple weeks ago in our house, and I'll probably tell this story again next week, but in our house, we were talking about this series a little bit and swapping ghost stories, so to speak, and Abby, my oldest daughter, goes, "I'm freaked out. This is freaking me out." And then Sarah, our youngest, goes, "I'm freaked out because 3 out of 4 people in this house believe in ghosts." But so, like that, and upon further reflection, I don't know that I would say I necessarily believe in ghosts, particularly in our understanding of ghosts. I'll explain that next week when we talk about ghosts and what to do with ghosts from a Christian perspective. But 48% of Americans believe in ghosts. 30 to 40% of Christians believe in ghosts. I say 30 to 40% because it kind of depends on your background of faith, like what brand of Christianity you're in, depending on if you're Catholic or the African-American churches. Like, there's kind of a blend there. Of how many Christians and just kind of what flavor of Christian you are. But get this, 1 in 5 Americans claim to have seen a ghost. That's a lot. Yo, that's a lot of ghost business happening. That's just, have you seen, there's a new show on CBS, sort of like where they go out and there's a priest, and has anybody seen this? I think it's called Evil, actually. And you'd be like, daggone, our pastor's watching a show called Evil. I think that's the name of it. And they try to go out and sort out if these paranormal things that are happening in the houses are actually ghosts, or if there's an explainable way to do it, to understand what's happening in the house. And it's kind of fascinating, actually, to see how they are portraying paranormal activity, and especially in regards to faith. So don't watch the first episode. It's pretty scary. Then after that, they're fine. But you can watch it if you want to. But other shows that have made it popular, Ghost Hunters. Have you seen that? Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Adventures. There was like Paranormal State or something like that. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. All right. Those kinds of shows, since 2009, when Ghost Hunters came out, the numbers of people who believe in ghosts have doubled. So we get to 40% today, or actually 2017, we can see a doubling of that trend since 2009. Double the amount of believers since 2009. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could have said the same thing in the church? We had double the amount of believers that we have had in 2009, but instead we got double the amount of believers in ghosts. Okay. So, with those kinds of numbers, 1 in 5 have seen a ghost. There's probably about 60 of us in here. How many of you have probably seen a ghost then? I mean, that's that just going off of that, all right? We're going to talk more about those things next week, actually. But do you have a ghost story to tell, all right? Have you told those stories and you're sitting around the campfire, you got the marshmallow stick, you know, and the timing is right, and you put the flashlight up by your chin, and you tell a ghost story. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have done that? You don't have to raise your hand on that. Ghost stories have been around for millennia, thousands of years. The first recorded one was this, the Epic of Gilgamesh in 1800 BC, okay, before Christ. We're talking about almost like 4,000 years ago. The ancient Iraq portrayed Gilgamesh conversing with the spirit of his dead friend Enkidu. All right, that was the first ghost story that was written down and sort of published, I guess, for posterity. There's another one in Old Egypt about the ghost of Nebusemek. I have no idea how to pronounce that. I wasn't around at the time. But he's chatting with the priest of Amun-Re. And this was 1,200 years ago. So this ghost is talking to a priest, all right? These stories are old, but get this one. One right out of the Bible. The 12 disciples are on this boat. You probably remember this story. The waves are kind of going crazy. It's windy. And then they see this, what they think is a ghost, walking across the water. Turns out it was who? Jesus. But the disciples thought it was a ghost, which means they probably kind of believed in ghosts. I think telling the ghost stories might have scared the ladies off. I'm sorry if we scared you. Actually, I think they're helping to get ready for the make the burgers and stuff. So we've all been told ghost stories probably all of our lives, and we have this curiosity or confusion about it. And we don't always know what to do with them. Like, how do we handle the ghost stories? I was raised in a Christian home. And I remember my parents talking about telling this story sort of to one another, but we were in the back of the car, you know, and like they were talking to each other, so we were just listening, you know, how that happens. And because we don't listen when they tell us to do things, but we listen to the things that we shouldn't hear. But so I was listening. And they're talking about maybe it was at their Bible study. Somebody had told a ghost story of what had happened. They had experienced it themselves. And so I was like, I was getting freaked out in the back seat. It's dark, you know, like, Mom, what is that stuff? And they go, there's just blanket statement, ghosts aren't real. The ghosts aren't real. That's it. Like, don't even think about it. And I got to scan the room before I say this next thing. So then ghosts become just like other seasonal characters. There's a young person in the room. I'm trying to be careful. You know what I'm talking about? So ghosts get put right up there with... Yes, other things. And so I just don't want to spoil that for somebody. I've done that accidentally before. I don't want to do it again. So you know what I'm saying? So then suddenly just like... But then we say ghosts aren't real. And we go to church and sing a song about a holy ghost. Like, well, wait a minute. I thought ghosts weren't real. Now we're singing about this holy ghost right in church. How do we justify all these things? It doesn't fit what our understanding of ghosts doesn't fit with our Christian construct of how we perceive the Bible. Except that the Bible is chocked full of paranormal activity. There's tons of it in there. Unexplainable things that happen. That's what we call it today, the paranormal, which really a simple definition of that is events that are beyond the scope of normal scientific explanation, right? It's paranormal. It's not normal. This isn't normal. This is paranormal, right? We can't explain it. And the Bible is full of the paranormal. And so it's just too easy for a Christian to say, ghosts aren't real. That's it. Ghosts aren't real. And then we go and sing the song about the Holy Ghost. So what's a little kid to do, or what's a non-believer to do? And so this is the season where we kind of start thinking about ghosts and telling ghost stories. We have Halloween coming up, and we got the spirits and the goblins and the ghosts and the things that frighten us, and the children dress up as ghosts. Remember E.T.? That's the E.T. over there, dressed up as a ghost so they could go trick-or-treating. And Casper the ghost, he's a friendly ghost. Those things are all part of our popular culture. And then we say, ghosts aren't real. So what does the Bible really say about ghosts? And how do we fit ghosts and paranormal activity into our Christian faith? Because we believe that when you die, something immediately happens to your spirit. Right, what we say is you go to either heaven or hell. But the Bible says you either go to paradise or Hades. There's just a clear distinction there, actually. But we say heaven or hell. And so we have to say, well, ghosts aren't real because we say these ghosts are disembodied spirits, right? Just kind of floating around, haunting things and doing whatever, paranormal activity. And so how do we explain, if we are Christians, we believe as soon as you die, you have to go one way or the other. What do we do with these things? And Next week, we're going to talk about that specifically, okay? You can even see the list of what we've got going on in the next few weeks there in your bulletin. The spirit realm and paranormal activity are talked about all through the Bible. Some of it's pretty scary. And just before worship started, Adam reminded me of King Saul went to a medium to try to call up the spirit of Samuel, I believe. And like, it's scary stuff. What happens in the Bible? If you were to, you know, there's scary movies out there. And if you were to actually make a movie out of some of those paranormal things, it would be just as legit scary as some of the movies that are out there now. But before we get into all of those things, that stuff next week about paranormal activity, I would like us to just at least have a broad understanding of the first paranormal thing that happens in the Bible. And there's a reason that I want to start here, because eventually, if you see in your schedule of topics coming up, the ghost stories that we want to focus on are of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit activities in Luke and Acts. So that's where we're headed with it. But today, I'm going to specifically talk about the Trinity, and in particular, how the three parts of the Trinity work as one. And I've got some like experiment things here, and I'm going to be asking for volunteers or directing volunteers. If there's no volunteer, it'd be a voluntold, because this doesn't. This does. I drafted, yes. I can't do it by myself. So the first thing that we see in the Bible is this verse right here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's Genesis chapter 1:1-2. Right away, in the beginning, God. Now, I would submit to you that that is not normal, okay? It's paranormal. It's not explainable scientifically to say, in the beginning, God created. Because we've been trying to explain that for, well, ever since humanity has been able to write stuff down and talk. We've been trying to figure out how things started. It's not easy to explain. Even the scientists that have so far figured it out as far as they can't quite explain the very, very beginning of what we now know as the heavens and the earth and the universe. It's interesting, though, that 38% of Americans believe that God created the earth. But think about the first statistic that I gave you, 48% believe in ghosts. So 48% of Americans believe in ghosts, but only 38% believe that God created the earth. So if you believe in one type of paranormal activity, ghosts, haunting your house, whatever, not necessarily will you also believe in another paranormal activity that God created. Notice that there's another thing there. It says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God created, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Two distinct things there that are highlighted, God and the Spirit of God. Now, I think, because this is paranormal, it's hard to explain, that it takes a step of faith to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Personally, I tend to believe it. I may not believe it in the package that it's delivered exactly in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but I don't think that's as important, 6 days versus however God chose to do it, as it is important to say God is the one who got it moving. God is the prime mover, is the way the philosophers would say it. Something started all that. I believe it's God, and I have faith. It takes faith for us to believe that God did that. It's foundational to our faith, I believe. But if you believe that, if you believe that God created the heavens and the earth, then you have to allow for things to happen in the spirit realm that we cannot easily or simply explain, okay? So the case I'm trying to make here is, if you're a good Christian and you believe that God created the heavens and the earth, then you can't just say ghosts aren't real. Some things happen in the spirit realm that we don't understand. We cannot quite explain it. Please hang in there with me for the next week when we talk about some of these things. Here's another verse that comes, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness." It says, our image. It says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. It's a plural. There's more than one there. Now, the problem with this passage for people who are skeptics or non-believers, they would say, well, that was written in a time where the cultures had pantheism and many gods that they believed in their religion. So the writers who are trying to explain the paranormal of how we came to existence just simply included multiple gods in their efforts to explain. Let us create. Let us make it in our image. So the people who are critical say, that's just an example of pantheism. This is just the Bible is just an ancient document that merely reflects the cultural religions of the day. But our faith says that we have one God, right? We believe in one God, but we believe that he exists in three persons. John, the gospel writer, he starts out his book. This is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God who created, and the Word was God who created. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, through the Word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John uses a pretty heady topic here, and he's talking to some Greeks and writing in Greeks, but the word that he uses for word, the word in the beginning was with the word, is the Greek word called logos. Logos is a Greek word that means word or reason. So the reason and the word of God existed in the beginning with God and was God. We now know that logos, his name is Jesus. Jesus. So Jesus was there in the present moment of creation when God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." We're talking about God the Father, the Spirit who is hovering over the waters, and Jesus who is the Word and was the Word and with God and is God. All three beings. Very difficult to explain all of that existing as one. Here's the paranormal thing we want to get at today, if you haven't figured it out. God, one God, exists in more than one form. So we'll get to those ghost stories next week, but today, let's have a baseline of the spiritual nature of God. We use the word Trinity, although it's not found in the Bible. You can't find that word anywhere throughout the Scriptures. It's not there. But the idea, the concept of Trinity is spelled out very clearly throughout the Scriptures. And it's difficult to understand the Trinity, and it's even harder to explain the Trinity. And I think it's an easy cop-out, just like good Christians will say, ghosts aren't real. We can say, the Trinity is just too hard to understand, so don't even bother. It's just a mystery. It's a mystery of faith. You have to just believe it. Well, so today, I want to try for us to understand it. But let me say, first of all, what God as Trinity is not. The Trinity is not like three phases where God kind of moves in and out of one form or another just depending on what you need at the time. Like, I'll just be Jesus for you right now. Oh, now I'm the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'll be back to God. He doesn't phase in and out. He is one at all times. He's not three separate beings of Trinity where they have biannual meetings. you know, where they just get together. Like, oh, Jesus, you go do your thing. Let's meet back here in 6 months, and we'll talk about what you're doing. No, one being together. And they're not three parts that coexist separately. It's kind of like the last one where they just kind of do their things and represent as we need it, but they are one. So today I've got some, those are things that the Trinity is not. But today I've got some visual help with us to illustrate the concept of the Trinity. Now, all of these visual things that I'm going to show you are bad representations of the Trinity. All of them have problems with them. None of them are like, man, that's nailed it. Because they're all of them have problems. But I'm going to illustrate to you the way it is similar to the Trinity and also the way it's not, so that we can also get an understanding even deeper of what the Trinity is like. Does that make sense? Okay, so I need two people to come up right now. One of you is going to be here a while eating an apple, so you better be hungry and you better like apples. Who's an apple eater? Come on up, Zane. All right, we got an apple eater. Give him an applause. All right. And while he's coming up, somebody else. I just need some help with stuff. Somebody. All right, Adam's coming up. Okay, Zane, you can have a seat. Oh, actually, I'll just leave this right here. You're gonna have a seat right there. Adam, if you don't mind to help me get some of this stuff moved over here, so we can put it in the light where we can see. Yeah.
On the table?
Yeah. No, we'll just put it down here one at a time. Put it back up. Okay. Sorry to put my backside towards you all. Okay. All right, Zane. You, sir. Zane's going to be working on an apple. Let me get this out of the way here too, so everybody can see. Do you like apples? Good. Okay. While we just, you take your time, because it's going to be, you know, 10 minutes or so. You work on this apple. Think about why the apple is like the Trinity. Okay, you know what Trinity is, because we talked about it a little bit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All right, munch up. All right, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I don't need you just yet. Could you throw that shamrock on the screen? We'll step out of the side. One way that you might know of St. Patrick, right? Kind of famous priest that was in Ireland for a long time. He came up with this way to understand the Trinity with the shamrock, right? Are you kind of, is any Catholics out there or Irish background? The idea is that you have, it's all one thing, it's all the clover, but each leaf means something different. You got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but they're all of the same sort of essence, I guess. The problem is that if you pluck one off, then you don't have you're missing a part. So the failure on that is you can remove one and you lose the whole. Does that make sense? All right, so that's the shamrock. That's one way to explain the Trinity. People have been using it for a long time. I get it. I think it's okay, but again, there's a little hole in that. All right, now then, Adam. Adam here, I think chef is a good way to describe you. He cooks a lot. He's good at cooking. Here's what we have here. You can see what this is.
It's an egg.
You call that an egg. Okay, good.
Everyone would call this an egg. Yeah.
Well, you could call it the Trinity,
okay,
as well. Now, Adam, could somebody get Adam a napkin? Because he's probably going to need it. I forgot to bring a napkin for you, unless you just do this on yourself. But Adam's going to crack this open. And tell us, Adam, do you think what is the three parts of the Trinity in the egg? Yeah, go ahead, crack it right in there. Oh, man, that's like expert there. Okay. Yeah, see, it's messy. Thank you, Lindsay. All right, so what?
So you got the shell.
You got the shell.
You've got the egg whites.
Yep.
And then you have the egg yolk.
Okay.
And which one's which?
Yeah, sure. You can give us that.
I would say the shell is probably the father.
Yeah, shell's the father. He protects us.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
All encompassing.
Takes care of all of us all around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus would be the yoke.
Okay. Yeah. Jesus is the yoke, he said.
Uh-huh. And then the spirit would be the egg white.
The white. Mm-hmm. I think we call it the albumen.
Yes.
Okay. So that's exactly right. The egg, we have the egg, the shell, and the white, and the yolk. It's all egg, right? It's all egg, and yet it comes in three parts. However, as they are in distinct parts, they don't necessarily identify as one, because whether you fry it or boil it or whatever, it's going to remain in its place. So I have another way to perhaps think of this with the egg in mind. I did a little prep work here, and this is really not fit for human consumption. And this, if you could just hold that. What would you say that is?
It's a fried egg.
A fried egg. You can still see its distinct parts. It's the yellow and the white. And the shell is nowhere to be seen because we disposed of that.
Got some hot sauce on here?
I wouldn't eat it if I were you. And then what would this be?
That's a hard-boiled egg.
This is a hard-boiled egg. We have fried egg, hard-boiled egg. Both are eggs, yes? Prepared in different ways. You can put this on the plate here. And then one more possible way.
That's a scrambled egg.
Scrambled egg. Now, that's probably the most like a Trinitarian kind of egg, because it's all mixed together. Even though we don't have the shell, I put milk in, so it would just be a little whippier. So another thought would be the Trinity could be still yet be the egg, different ways to prepare the egg. It's all egg, right? This is all egg, three different ways, and actually there's probably tons more ways to prepare eggs. Okay.
Maybe you even got a little shell.
There might be some shell in the scrambled egg,
father.
Too. Yeah, put some father in there for good measure. All right, so the egg is a good model. You can see this a lot. Children will be taught this lesson at times, maybe not here, but the problem with this, let me remember, is these do not identify as one. They can't all be one at the same time. All right, it's either hard-boiled or it's fried. Or it's scrambled, it is not one. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Everybody give Adam a hand. All right, yeah. Zane, how you doing on that apple? He's about done with that apple. All right. We'll come over to you. All right, Zane. He's been working on this apple here, and he knows that it's the Trinity because
the skin.
The flesh.
And then there's the seed.
Boom. It's like he read ahead. And I don't think he did. I did not prepare him for this. So the seeds are like the Holy Spirit that gets inside of us and germinates God within us. The flesh is God made flesh. So we would call that Jesus. And of course, the skin, the outer protection. Here's the thing. Apples are a poor representation because they're all distinct parts. And if you would look at their molecular structures, skin, flesh, seeds, you would see different things. It's not all one being, all right? Okay, buddy, you want to put that in there? You can take that to the trash if you want to. Here's another napkin for your hands. Everybody give Zane a hand. All right, I've got one more little experiment here, and so I do need some help from somebody to come up and help me with that, please. Somebody. I told Sarah she couldn't do it because pastor's kids don't get to do the fun things. They only get bad stories told about them. Come on, I need somebody. All right, Sarah Duff. Okay. Don't let me knock that over. All right. The Trinity is also like this. All right. Sarah, what would you call this here?
A pitcher.
A pitcher. What would you call the contents within the pitcher? Water. Okay. Or H2O, perhaps. All right. If you would do me a favor and pour that water into this cauldron, if you will. Go ahead and fill it up pretty full. That'll do. Thank you. All right. And water presents itself in a multitude of forms. Yes? This form would be?
Liquid.
Okay. But water presents itself as what else?
Ice.
Solid.
Solid.
Yeah, ice. Okay. And I happen to have some solid. It is, actually, yes. And you might want to put on this. Yes, protective hand wear. It's not H2O solid, just saying here. Just one will do. Just grab some of that. Show the people, the good folks of Engage Newark, what you got there. This is solid. Yes. And if you don't mind to put it in there. Oh, ho, ho. Yeah. Now. Okay, you just load some in there. All right. We have liquid, and then she's putting in solid. That's probably due after that one. Go ahead. This is cool, isn't it? You got the best one. Liquid, solid, and now gas. Yes. So the Holy Spirit, well, I'll just go ahead and tell them. Liquid, H2O, God. Solid, Jesus Christ, because he was flesh in the body. And then we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. This would be the gaseous form. Now, there is a problem with this as well. Oh, everything got wet. yes, and this is it. They cannot be the same thing at the same time. All right, if you have a molecule of H2O, it has to be in solid form or gas form or liquid form, thank you, at all times. It can't be the same thing at the same time. Does that make sense? So there's a problem with that one too. Now, what I want us to understand, it's actually coming out, isn't it? There is water everywhere up here. Wow. What I want us to understand is that God, the Trinity, is one being in three parts, but the same essence at the same time. Does that make sense? Okay, give Sarah a hand. And I have no idea how long this is going to go over here, because she put a lot in. All right. There is one good way that is perhaps understandable to us. If you could put the next slide on the screen there. And there's no like fun experiment with this, but it's a visual reminder for us of perhaps how the Trinity works. You see that God is Father, and God is Son, and God is the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, nor the Holy Spirit. You see how that works? This is about as good as we can get to understanding and explaining the paranormal activity of our faith, that this is hard to get, hard to grasp, the concept of our Trinity, that we have one God in three persons. And I would say, maybe to finish it how we began it, is that it really is okay to say, I don't understand. I know it's true, but I don't understand it. And I can't really quite explain it. This is just a mystery of our faith. It's not a cop-out necessarily. It simply is a step of faith to believe that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And parenthetically, I would say, I don't think any of them are gender specific except Jesus. God is God, but he's called the Father in the Bible, and Jesus called him Father. So we can call him Father as well. Same with the Holy Spirit. Non-gender specific, the Spirit is Spirit. I'm okay with it being a mystery. I'm okay with it just being just something that is, and we may not understand all of it. I'm going to invite the team to come, and we're going to sing one song. But as they come forward, let us pray. God, we thank you that we've had these moments together. And I hope for us that it wasn't just something fun or funny to do, but an illustration of who you are for us, who you can be in us, and who Jesus was, especially to give us that new life and the grace that we receive through him. God, in these moments, we're going to sing a song about what we believe in. We just ask that you solidify in us who you are, and so that we can be confident in the mystery. We can be confident in not understanding. We just have faith because we're confident in you and who you are to us. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.